for His goodness. I want to invite you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. You know, I think one of the most mind-boggling events in history is when Jesus Christ condescended from His eternal position in heaven. And Jesus was born into this world. And He came, of course, as a baby, grew into a man, so that He might live and eventually die for our sins. You know, typically we talk about the facts of the birth of Christ around Christmas time. But lying before you in your Bible is one of the greatest texts, I think, on the subject of Christ becoming a man that there is in the Bible. It's Philippians 2, if you're there, verses 5 through 8. This text describes for us this awesome and incredible event. But you know what I like about this text, church? It allows us to get a glimpse into Christ's attitude when He did that. When Christ descended to the earth, what was He thinking? What was in His mind? What was in His heart? This text is going to actually allow us to get a glimpse into the inner thinking processes of our Savior when He came to this earth as a human being. And this text is going to allow us to kind of just look into the heart and into the mind of our Savior. Verse 5 there starts out, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, the same attitude that Christ possessed when He was incarnated as a man to walk the earth, He says that same attitude is to dwell in your mind. Okay? And then He's going to go on and explain what the mind of Christ was. Look with me at verse number 6. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so he says, look, the same mind that Christ had, you need to arm yourself with that same mind, that same attitude. You know, your attitude is going to determine what kind of person that you're going to be. And your attitude really, in large measure, determines what kind of behavior you're going to display. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, what you think about, the attitudes you have, are going to determine what kind of person that you really are. Now, there's a great verse, if you'll turn over one page probably to Philippians chapter 4, there's a great verse here about that thing of your thinking processes, and what you put in your mind, and how important it is. Look at Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." I like that. "Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any," what? "Virtue. And if there be any praise," say it with me, "think on these things." Think on these things. The importance of what you put in your mind, what you think about. This morning, if you'll go back to Philippians 2, we're going to look into this text, and we're going to see the mind of Christ. But you know what we're going to do this morning? Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at who Christ was before He ever graced the earth with His presence. Then we're going to look at what Christ did when He actually came to the earth. And you know what we're going to find out? Who He was before He came and what He did when He came. Those two things are linked together by His attitude. His attitude. We're going to see those two are linked together by His attitude. I want you to notice in your handout, first of all, number one, in His person, Jesus Christ was God. In His person, Christ was God. Now, look what the Bible declares about Christ. Look at verse 6. It says, "Who being in the form of God." Now, let's stop right there. When it talks about the form of God, Philip, it's not talking about His shape or His size. How do we know that? John 4:24. Can we bring it up on the screen, please? It says, "God is a what, church?" Say it with me. "Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when it says that Jesus Christ was in the form of God, He's not talking about His shape. He's not talking about His size. What's He talking about? The Bible, when the Bible says that Christ was in the form of God, it's teaching that Jesus Christ eternally existed in the form of God. He was equal with God the Father in every way. Jesus Christ was not inferior in any way to God the Father. Jesus was, is, and always will be fully divine. He is God through and through. Now, Philip came to Jesus, one of the 12, and Philip said to Jesus, well, it's in your hand out there, look at it. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. How did Jesus answer him? He said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now look at this. He that has seen me, Jesus said, hath seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I want you to understand with me this morning, please, that Jesus Christ was not simply a good man. There's a lot of religions out there that purport to believe in Jesus. And when you nail them down, what they believe is that, well, he was a good man. Or they believe he was a mighty prophet. Islam believes he was a mighty prophet. Okay, they think he was a prophet like Elisha or Elijah or Isaiah or Jeremiah. But I want you to know this morning, Christ was not simply a good man. He was not simply a mighty prophet. He was not just a great religious leader or some sideshow miracle worker. And he wasn't some kind of a creature that God created somewhere in between the angelic host and God. He wasn't some created being in between God and the angels. Jesus, you say, well, who was Jesus Christ? Well, let's do this. Take your bookmarker, put it in Philippians 2, and go back to John. John chapter 1. And let's look at this text. John chapter 1, who was Jesus Christ? Who was he? If he wasn't just a good man, if he wasn't just a mighty prophet, if he wasn't just a great religious leader, if he wasn't some created being in between the angels and God, who was he? Well, let's look at John chapter 1. Notice with me John 1 and verse number 1. John 1, 1. Now look at it closely and notice the words. In the beginning was the what? Word. Now, is that a capital W, yes or no? Then that means this is talking about a person. That's a personal pronoun. The Word is a person. Now, look at this. And the Word was, say it with me, with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, look at the next two words. What are the next two words in verse 3? All things. All things were what? Made by Him. So He's the creator of everything. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So who is this Word? Look down at verse 14. It says, and the Word was, now this is very important, you got to get this, and the Word was, say it with me, made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word? Somebody tell me, who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, according to verse 1, was who? Yeah, He was the Word. But the Word was God. Was Jesus Christ fully divine, yes or no? Yes. Jesus Christ, that's what we just read in Philippians. When it says there, He was in the form of God, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with the Father in every way. I want you to notice with me in your handout, it says Jesus in His person was God. Write that in. He was God, is God, and always will be God. Amen, church? He was God, is God, and always will be God. So, question, in His person, Christ was who? God. Now, can I give you something startling? Can I share with something with you that is, to me, mind-boggling? And I told the 9:30 crowd, I get more out of my messages than you do. Because I write them, I study, I write them, I meditate on them all week, and then this is just the culmination of hours of meditating on this. What you see is just the, you know, one little piece of the puzzle. And so as I was meditating on this week, I got to tell you that my mind was pretty blown away by this text. If you'll go back to Philippians 2, I'm talking about Philippians 2 text. My mind was pretty blown away by this because in your handout it says, we know that in His person He was God, but number two, in His attitude, Christ was a servant. Now I want you to really think about that a minute. Christ was God, but yet He was a servant. Please let that sink in. In fact, just for a moment here, just a moment of silence, I want you to think about those two facts, that He was God, but yet in His attitude He was a servant. Think about that. Meditate on that a minute. In verse 6, look at it. In verse 6 it says, that He was in the form of who? God. See if you can find the word form in verse 7. Did you find it? He was in the form of what? How about that? How about that? Isn't that amazing? Would you agree with me that if there was anybody in a position to demand that He be served, was it not Jesus Christ? He was God. If anybody could come to the earth and say, serve me, it was Jesus. And have a right to do it, it was Jesus. I told the early service at our house, this is the way we do it, and every house does it different. But at our house, my wife, she'll cook a big meal, and she's got the pots and the pans on the stove or on the counter. And what she does is, she'll fix each of the plates for the boys, and sometimes for me. And she fixes our plates, brings them over to the table, and sets them down on the table for us. Now, she does that to be nice. But every once in a while, one of our boys will say something like, I mean, she's over there still fixing plates. She hasn't had a bite. And, you know, we've prayed and they're over there diving in. And one of them will be like, Mom, give me a fork. That's the wrong thing to say. Mom's over there slaving over the stove fixing plates. And she'll be like, you know, I haven't even started eating yet. Get up and get your own fork. But, you know, I mean, she serves us because she wants to serve us. But, you know, I was thinking about this. If there was anybody that could come to the earth and just sit on a velvety cushion and say, give me a fork, was it not Jesus Christ? If anybody could have sat on a velvet cushion and say, hey, you know, bring me some bread, bring me the newspaper, you know, serve me. You know, and if there's anybody that could have sat on a velvet cushion and barked out orders and had a right to do it, was it not Jesus Christ? He was God. But yet He came as a what? A little bit louder. As a what?
Servant.
Verse 7, look at it. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. I want you to get this in your handout, please. Jesus was God, yet He wasn't selfishly clinging to His position. He thought it not robbery, verse 6, to be equal with God. You know what that means? That means that Christ was not on the right hand of the Father hanging on to His position and hanging on to His glory. God the Father, in other words, get the picture. You know, it wasn't as if, you know, that Christ was in heaven and He had His hands on the throne up there and the Father had to pry His fingers off of the throne and coerce Him to go to the earth and to leave the glories of heaven and be born in a lowly manger. No, 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 no. Jesus willingly forsook the worship of saints and angels in heaven. And He came and He submitted Himself to poverty, misunderstanding, unbelief, false accusations. He submitted Himself to every sort of reviling and persecuting by sinful men. Say, why would He do that? Because He possessed a servant's. In your handout, it says Jesus was God, yet He wasn't selfishly clinging to His privileges. He He wasn't selfishly clinging to his privileges. I want you to look with me again, please, at verse 7. What a text this is. Look at verse 7. It's giving you a glimpse into the mind of Christ. Look at verse 7. It says, but made himself of no, say it with me, reputation. Hey, Jesus enjoyed all the divine rights and privileges in heaven, yet he emptied himself of all those privileges, and he who created and owned everything forsook everything. And I want to remind you this morning, okay? Jesus Christ didn't ride around in a limo like a lot of these preachers on TV. He didn't have a big old fat ring on every finger. He didn't go around with designer clothes on and shoes. Jesus Christ came to this earth and was poor. He owned no land. He owned no house. He possessed no jewels and no gold. He owned no business. He had no boat. He owned no horse. I want to remind you, he had to ride into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. He had to borrow an upper room to be able to have the Last Supper with the 12. And Jesus Christ refused any property or any advantages or any special service to himself. And as our choir sung this morning, hallelujah, what a Savior. Is he not worthy to be praised as a wonderful Savior this morning? But I want you to notice with me in your handout, it says that he completely waived his rights as the Son of God and became a servant. He made himself of no reputation. He waived his rights as the Son of God and became a servant. If you'll turn your handout over, notice Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:9 in your handout. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was, what, church? Rich. Had all the riches of heaven, yet for your sakes he became, say it with me, poor. That ye through his, what? Poverty might be what? Rich. I am spiritually enriched with all blessings in Christ because my Savior had the heart of a servant. But I want you to look at verse 5 again. Let this mind be where? In you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is that not sobering to you? That's sobering to me. God says, hey, the attitude that Jesus possessed as a servant, God says, now you go out and you live that way. You go out and live that way. The attitude he possessed as a servant, God says, okay, you know what I want you to do now? God says, I want you to possess the same attitude, the same mind. You go out and live with your wife that way. You go out and live with your husband that way. You go out and live with your coworkers that way. You go out and you live with your friends that way. You go out and live with your fellow life group members that way. God says he had the heart of a servant. And then he said, but let that mind be in you. In you. You know, we tend to allow our attitudes to get so twisted and warped. And we believe many times the higher the position and the more important we are, the more others should serve us. I'm reminded of two recent things that happened to me that kind of demonstrate for you this attitude. I was in a fast food restaurant. I was standing at the counter and I just wanted to get some food and eat lunch, you know. And I was standing there waiting and I noticed that the manager told one of the workers to do something. And the worker had a real attitude and was like, I'll get to it. And the manager started to yell and then looked over and cut her eyes at me. I'm just standing there minding my own business, you know. And she cut her eyes over at me. So she just looked at the worker and went. And so the worker comes walking over and they walk around the corner out of sight, just right around the corner where I couldn't see them. Of course, I hear talking going on. Then all of a sudden, I see the worker come right back around. She just got scared. She's walking, and the manager's walking behind her. And it's like the manager knew I was there, but couldn't stand it anymore. And the manager hollered, I'm a manager. You have to do what I say. And I thought, boy, if you got to go around telling people that, you've already lost it. Amen. I'm a manager. You got to do what I say. And then I'm reminded of a restaurant we were in recently, and it was a sit-down restaurant. It wasn't a chain. It was just a locally owned restaurant here in town. And the owner's probably in his 40s. And we were sitting there eating, and there was a family there with a little baby. And when they got up to leave, they left, but the baby left something behind on the carpet. Yeah. It's exactly what you're thinking right now, okay? That's what the baby left behind. I mean, just plop. I mean, right there on the carpet. I'm sorry, but, you know, it was nasty. I could not look over there. I was trying to eat, you know, and I said, it's gross. But I said that to say this, not just to gross you out, all right? I said that to say, I watched closely to see what would happen. I knew who the owner was. And I don't know him personally, but I knew he was the owner. And I watched to see what would happen. You couldn't get a lower job than that, okay? Cleaning up that off the carpet. You know what I saw next? There was probably 5 17, 18, 16-year-old kids working there. The owner was on his hands and knees cleaning that up. He could have told any one of those kids to clean that up. The owner was on his hands and knees with a spray bottle and some kind of disinfectant and was getting all that mess up. You see, we kind of get the attitude, the bigger I am, man, more people ought to serve me. But Jesus' attitude concerning leadership was a whole lot different than that. You know what Jesus' attitude was? Look at the screen. Jesus said, "But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Minister. And whosoever will be chief," you want to be chief among you? "Let him be your what, church? Servant." If Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, wasn't above having a servant's heart, then why do we think we are? Let me ask you something. Do you think it would make a difference in our relationships if we had the mind of Christ? Yes or no? You think it would make an impact in our relationships if we had a servant's heart like the mind of Christ did? In your handout it says, what a difference it would make in our relationships if we would exercise the mind of Christ and take on the attitude of a servant. What a difference it would make in marriages if the husband lived to serve the wife and the wife lived to serve the husband. Oh man, you talk about a little taste of heaven on earth. Our marriages would be a little taste of heaven on earth if the husband lived to serve the wife and the wife lived to serve the husband. And if the kids lived to try to serve the parents and the parents were living to serve those kids, can you imagine at work the difference it would make if everybody just lived to serve each other at work, regardless of who's the manager, who has the big position, who has what? Imagine at work if everybody there had a heart to serve one another. Imagine at your job. Imagine in your home. Imagine with me at church. Do you think it'd make a difference in a church if every single one of the members had the attitude, man, how can I just serve? How can I just serve my local church? Not how can I take, not is the choir going to bless me? Is the message going to bless me? Are the pews going to be comfortable? Is the AC going to be where I like it? What if everybody just had the attitude, man, how can I serve? How can I serve? Last thing I want to give you is this. Number 3, in His actions, Christ was sacrificial. In His actions, He was sacrificial. Attitude is what determines action. In your handout, it says, in His attitude, Christ was a servant. Right? That was point number 2. Let's review. You can look at your handout. You can cheat. Number 1, in His person, He was God, but number 2, this is again contrary to our thinking. In His person, He was God, but in His attitude, He was a servant. So if a guy has a servant's attitude, then how would we expect him to act? If in his mind, he's got a servant's heart, how would we expect that person to act? Think about it. I mean, if Brother Rob here and Brother Philip over here, Philip Thompson is an intern. He's here for on college over the summer, and he's our youth director. If in between the 9:30 and 11 o'clock service, if I go to Brother Rob and say, hey, I heard the toilet overflowed in the men's bathroom. It's a mess. Man, I need you to go get a mop next door and go get that cleaned up. Now, if Brother Rob has the mind of a servant, what will he do? Just go clean it up, happily. But if he does not have the mind and the heart of a servant, then what does he do? Hey, why do I have an intern? Philip! I mean, he's lower on the ladder than me. He can do it. Right? See, here's my point. Attitude determines action. So in your handout it says, in his attitude he was a servant, so therefore in his actions Christ was sacrificial. If a person has a servant's heart, then we would expect them to, in their actions, be and live sacrificially. In your handout, in your Bible, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Bible says, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. And look at this. He was made in the likeness of men. Do you know what that took? Can we bring that picture back up from the beginning? Could you pop that up real quick? Jesus Christ was God. He was in perfect, unbroken fellowship with the Father from eternity past. Now he leaves the glories of heaven. He becomes a little baby, a human being. That is the most that to me is the most profound possible humiliation. And verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he what, church? Humbled himself. He humbled himself. You and I have no idea of the incredible sacrifice involved in this. When Jesus Christ was born there in Bethlehem, he entered into a permanent union with humanity from which there could be no escape. He humbled himself and became a servant for you and me. Now, you know, you've heard me talk about them two old stray cats that we took in at our house. And you know what? I love them old cats. I really do. I love them. They're precious to me and I enjoy them and everything. But I'm going to tell you something. If somebody came up to me and they said, Pastor Dan, those cats are going to die unless you enter into a permanent union with cathood. If somebody came to me and said the only way to save them cats is for you to become a cat. And once you become a cat, you enter into a permanent union with cathood, of which there will be no way to get out of it. Now, look, folks, I love them cats, but my answer to that is, see you later. They're going to have to die. Because I'm not going to become a cat in order to save my cats. Jesus Christ, though, had such a heart of a servant. His actions were so sacrificial that he came into this earth and entered into a permanent union with humanity. He still bears the scars today of that humanity in heaven. In verse 8 says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And notice this, he became obedient unto what, church? Death. Even the death of the cross. Now here we have the ultimate sacrifice. Now look at this, look at this. The flesh and blood that he took on my flesh and blood, humanity. But you know what, here's the neat thing. He then went to the cross and he offered up that flesh and blood as a sacrifice for our sins. I want you to look in your handout at Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, say it with me, Christ died for us. The Father called upon Christ to do this, and he became obedient unto death. He sacrificed that perfect fellowship with the Father on the cross by becoming sin, as we sung about earlier, on the cross for us. You say, why would he do that? So that we might be saved. How could the one who is God sacrifice himself for sinners who don't even deserve it? It's what our choir sung about. Hallelujah, Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Because of his attitude, he had the mind of a servant But remember, your attitude is what determines your actions. Do you have the mind of Christ? Verse 5 says, let this mind be where? In you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In your handout, it asks a question here. Is your attitude me first or others first? We talked about this last week. Hey, can you look at me just for a moment, and I want to ask you a question from my heart, and I want you to answer it from your heart. Aren't you glad that Jesus' attitude was others first? Hey, if Jesus' attitude was me first, where would we all be right now? Yeah, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Do you know that we're to go out and live the mind of Christ out? And if your attitude determines your actions, then that means that I ought to love my wife sacrificially if the mind of Christ is living through me. Me sacrifice for her, you say? How do you expect me to do that? By simply changing your attitude and equipping yourself with the mind of Christ. Hey, let me ask you something. What's your attitude towards God today? You know what I think is very prevalent in Christianity today? And a lot of it has to do with the music in Christianity today. But you know what a very common prevalent attitude is towards God among Christians today? A common prevalent attitude is they look at God as this heavenly genie, and God exists to make me happy. God exists really to serve me. God exists to make me feel good. Don't you think we may have that backwards? Does God exist to serve me, or do I exist to serve God? Just asking the question. Is there any part of your life that you can point at where you truly sacrifice for God? Is there any part of your life that you can point at and say, that's an area where I serve and I serve sacrificially for God? You know, the Bible says in your handout there, look at it, the last verse and we're done. It says, and that He died for all, Christ died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto who, church? Themselves. But I'm to live unto Him, unto Christ, which died for them and rose again. The mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Well, it's the mind of a servant. How's that lived out? It's lived out in sacrificial actions. May we go out and live out the mind of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.